You're listening to the Remote Mom Collective podcast, where moms can find their stride in the remote work world. Whether you currently work remotely or you want to, you're in the right place. I'm Brittany, the remote mom, and I've been working remotely since 2007. I became a mom in 2015, and there's a lot to learn. Together, we'll support, inspire, and empower each other on our journey to balance work, life, and motherhood from the comfort of our own homes or wherever we're working remotely. Together, let's redefine what it means to be a working mom. Let's support and inspire each other. Hello, Remote Mom Collective listeners. This is Brittany, the Remote Mom, and I'm here today with Lacey Tomlinson, and she is with the Joyful Support Movement, and she is here to share her story, and we're going to learn more about the Joyful Support Movement. Lacey, welcome to the podcast, and I'd love to turn it over to you to introduce yourself and share your story, and we'll just jump right in.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I love to chat. Literally, I went to college and was a communication major because I like to talk. That's how I made the choice.
Love it.
My journey is a little different, and it really is informing what we're talking about today. I started doing some remote work with the pandemic. I worked for a large university, and they sent us all home for a long time and then wanted us all to come back. And I was like, I don't think I want to.
Nope.
And ended up, you know, kind of taking, you know, stepping out of that. And I got a job in tech using some of the different skills that I had gotten there. And then that led to another job that was like my dream job, that was hybrid, but still had remote elements. But then I got really sick. I developed a chronic illness. It's not long COVID, but it is similar in that I seem to have gotten sick and then never really got better. It's not long COVID because I took a COVID test so many times. I can't tell you how many COVID tests I took at that time. And what we've landed on after a very long journey of so many doctors and appointments is that I have ME/CFS or chronic fatigue syndrome, which is what a lot of people know it as, if they know about it, that is made worse by a lot of other underlying things that I already had, like PCOS and vasovagal syncope and dysautonomia and all these different things. So my life in the end of 2022 drastically changed, and I couldn't work like I did before. I had to stop working, and it was very, very difficult for me because I've always been a worker bee. I love to work. I get a lot of my identity from work. I have two kids, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. I had had my daughter earlier, I guess in 2021. So she was only like 18 months at the time. My son was 3. It was a very, very challenging time. And I took all of that energy that I still had in me, yeah. What little that I had, and that I could, and I put it towards building something called The Middle, which is still alive and well as part of the Joyful Support Movement. But in that process, I learned so much about how to work with my chronic illness. I met an amazing business partner, and she and I started the Joyful Support Movement together because our partnership was something I didn't even know could exist in the world, of someone who would meet me where I am and where she is. And we're truly just working together to not push and grind, but to get to our end goal, which is really just to support the world and spread more joy. So, you know, my journey to remote work has been a little bit of a weird one because it has been so defined by that chronic illness. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can get real nerdy and specific on like how I make my chronic illness work. And I've got what I've lovingly called my bed desk to accommodate my need to lay down because I have to lay down a lot. We actually moved in October. And so like what I have now is bed desk 2.0 because I was able to like design it from the start.
Nice.
But it is always a challenge, because it takes less energy for me to do my work than it does for me to be a mom. And because of that, there's this constant push and pull. And if you sprinkle on my chronic illness, there is this other like need to still feel somewhat productive. And it's so much easier for me to feel productive while I'm laying on my phone and I can make something in Canva than it is to like build with Legos. So it's been a really challenging journey. It's one that has really changed who I am in a lot of really great ways. I literally, like last week, had this giant self-actualization that I don't miss the person I was pre-chronic illness and all that stuff. So I've been doing a lot of healing.
I was gonna say, isn't that amazing when we get to that point? And actually, when you just said that, I got chills because I feel like we all kind of shed those layers at some point. And when you get to that feeling, it feels amazing. And you're like, this is me. This is who I am now.
Yeah, I don't want anyone else to have chronic illness to figure that out. But there are so many ways that I didn't realize that I was making myself smaller and making myself more palatable for other people. And yeah, it's I joke that my chronic illness, while it made my physical world smaller, because I don't really leave the house a lot because it's hard for me and that kind of stuff, it has made parts of me so much bigger. Like I did my first TikTok live this morning. I mean, it happened. It was
Very
fine.
impressive.
I made 2 cents. Literally, I made 2 cents. They're like, "This is what you
Well,
are."
that's impressive.
Hey, I'll take it. But it's. It, I would have never done those things, and I would have never had the courage to do them, if I wasn't, where I am as a mom working from home with chronic illness.
I also want to talk about the joyful movement and what that is and how, because clearly you love who you are now and you are part of who you are because of the joyful movement. So tell me, what is that? And I let our listeners know how they can get involved and what it is and resources and all that kind of good stuff.
Absolutely. So the Joyful Support Movement really came from, like I said, my partnership with my business partner, Sarah. She and I were part of a mom networking group, and we had also previously met in a course online learning about human design. And I put a call out in the networking group, like, I just need a business buddy because I desperately missed having a coworker. Like, I had. I joke that I was a lot of people's work wife, like I was attending to people all the time, and I just didn't have that at all. And Sarah responded, and this just beautiful partnership grew where she was kind of having me help her with some things, and she was a sounding board for me. And she sent me I also one of my things in my background is also instructional design. And so she sent me this idea for a course that she was working on, and she was like, "Can you help me with this? And I'll pay you and all these different things." And I sat down and I read the course, or what she was thinking for the course. And I came back to her and I said, "This is a big deal, and we need to do something with this. This is bigger than just a one-off course somewhere." And so with that, she and I created the second podcast that I actually have two podcasts. I have Sharing the Middle, which is me talking about my story. And then I also have No Shame in the Home Game, which I do with Sarah. And it's like a reality show, home makeover. We say it's the home makeover podcast that cares how your home feels, not looks. And what we
Love
do is we
that.
take these participants through some of these concepts and see how their home changes over the 3 months that Sarah is working with them. And I told her, I was like, first of all, this is a podcast. This is all these different things. And from our partnership, she and I kept saying, like, what we're working on, there's this similar underlying thing that we haven't been able to put our finger on. And one day I was sitting down talking about or thinking about what that looked like for us. And I'm like, it's a joyful support in that she and I get so much joy out of giving and receiving support to one another. And because we have that foundation, we can go out into the world and spread more joy. And that's where the idea of joyful support came from. And we've taken that and really built on that a whole lot. So the joyful support movement is all kinds of things at this point. So we have a free online course, and that's with the work or the worksheet that we have that takes you through what we call the joyful support framework. Because Sarah and I sat down and tried to figure out what is so special here that we haven't seen anywhere else. And it really just comes down to three simple steps. That is a piece or a tool that you can do in a moment where you're not feeling joy, where you need a little help, and it's just take a moment to find joy, understand and share your story. Now, I share my story on a podcast, this one and my own, but you can just share your story with yourself, right? It's about defining it and learning it, what your story is, and then just take the smallest step. It doesn't even have to be related to what you're struggling with, but take a step. And I like to think of this as kind of a response to a lot of like toxic positivity that we see in the world that doesn't really acknowledge the bad, because the bad's there. It's still there whether we acknowledge it or not. And it doesn't wallow because there's a little bit of movement forward. And when I say the smallest step, sometimes doing the steps of joyful support is the step, and that's enough. But what we've learned, especially working together, is that even the smallest step will roll you down the hill a little bit more and down the hill a little bit more. And, our partnership and this support has changed my life in so many different ways. So we've got, like I said, the free joyful support course that talks through that. We have home management for everyone, which is kind of Sarah's framework that she uses in homes. We have a village that we call the Joyful Support Village. I like to think of it as the village we were all promised to help raise our kids
Right,
and
that it
support
takes a
ourselves.
village to re yes, I have a dish towel that says something about like where now let's get to the part where the village comes in. Where are they?
So this is our best take on trying to be that village for each other. I can't come over and watch your kids, but man, I can listen to you and empathize with you and give you ideas if you want ideas. I mean, if you don't want ideas and you just want to get it out, cool. That's valid too. So yeah, and we're having more courses too, like home management for kids. We're going to work on that one next.
Oh,
So
I
yeah,
have a
we.
9-year-old that needs that one.
Yeah, I know. I'm really excited about it because, and we were talking about it yesterday, and I was like, okay, how do we do the, how can I do this with my kids at the same time? And we can use it because I don't want to put them on camera, but we can maybe have a conversation. So it's lovely and it is wonderful. And it is truly built on this idea of being who you are, showing up where you are, and doing what you can.
And this
And
is your
as
heart's work, and I can tell by
it
just in, the listeners can't see us, but I mean, you can just see Lacey like just glowing when she's talking about this. This is a passion. This clearly has made you who you are, and clearly is something that you are working with your, being a mom, and you found your passion. This is your purpose.
is. It is. And I would have never thought this is a thing I could do. Like I joke, I'm like, well, I'm making my job joy. Like that is what I'm making my job. Is it making me a lot of money yet? No, but I believe that it will because I believe in it so
Yeah.
much.
And you're putting in all
Absolutely.
the work. So it started with an idea, right? Because you were in bed and you couldn't get out of the house and you knew that you needed connection with somebody else and you wanted your work buddy, and then you connected with Sarah. It's so funny. I don't believe in coincidences. I'm one of those like universe people. And I think that we cross paths with people on purpose. And I kind of had a similar situation. Not that this is definitely our conversation about what you're going through, but like my situation was very similar. I actually put out a call for not help in a local Facebook group, but I put out a call for like We just moved here. My husband just retired from the military. We're used to relocating every 2 years, and I'm used to having like a built-in community. And we're back in a location where there's no military, and like I need help. I need friends. I need some sort of connection. And you couldn't believe the amount of support that came in and messages and people willing to meet up with me. And then the remote Facebook group started. So now I have a remote Facebook group with 100 work from home moms that are local to where I am. And then the Remote Mom Collective podcast, it snowballs. It just goes, it starts with one, but you have to have that moment of vulnerability. And I think that's key here. That's, you were vulnerable in your post, and so was I. And I think that's kind of where we fall into our passion.
Totally agree. You have to say what you need. And I think as moms, as women, we have been taught to not say what we have, what we need.
Right.
Maybe we like dance around it, or we try to fill it ourselves and do all these things. And it literally took me being stuck in my bed, not able to do much, to say, look, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
I need this level of support. I need, that kind of thing. And yeah, I totally agree. Like I was never a, I've gotten a lot more woo. I joke with that I've gotten a lot more woo since I've been sick. But, like I said, talking about sharing your story, I sit now and I can see the plot points of my story and how they come together and how they connect. And it is beautiful, and I am so thankful for those plot points. Do I wish that I had way more energy? Absolutely. Like, I'm gonna have to go take a nap after this, which is just fine. I had to rest before this, but that is how I've built my life. And I'm so grateful for my husband, who has been able to carry a lot of the load for us. But I looked at him the other day and I'm like, I want you to know, I am gonna pay for our house. And he was like, okay. I'm like, no, it's gonna happen. Like, I have this belief in myself, and it's not, it took me a long time to accept like that it could be that. It took me a long time to believe that I could be all those things. But I'm to a place now where I'm like, oh no, it's gonna happen. It's happening. That's
How
fine.
did you get to the point where you believed it? Because I know I kind of was the same way, but like I feel like we almost have to go through, excuse me, we have to go through those dark points sometimes to get us to see the light. We have to go to the bottom of the well to be able to look up and be like, oh yeah, there it is.
I wish I could tell you what changed. Again, so I have a lot of really negative self-talk. That's something I worked on in therapy. That's something that I've been working on for a long time. And there's that little voice in the back of my head that's like, but will you? That has been there for such a long time of like, I could do this. And it's like, everybody thinks they can do this lately. Lacey, come on, you're not special. But I started to realize though that that voice was stopping me from believing it, and by not believing it, it wasn't going to happen. And so part of it is that I cannot explain it. Deep down, I just know the joyful support movement is going to make a difference. Like, I just deep down feel it in my gut. I've never had a feeling like this before. So there's that. And then the fact that I've been able to kind of move that voice of being like, you can't do it, just to be like, watch me. Okay.
I like that.
We'll see. And when I say I've had this realization, like I'm saying last week, for the first time ever, I had this moment where I was like, no, it's going to happen. I believe it. It's going to happen. So you're getting fresh, excited, Lacey.
Oh, good. Yay.
Because
Well, it's a, I just can tell how important this is to you, and it is something that you fully believe in. And I love that. And I think that when we are truly authentic with what we want, that's when we will do anything to get it. And we will do anything to make it happen, if whether it's for our family or, our kids, our parents, our husband, or whatever, we're going to make that happen because we have the willpower to do so and to make a difference, and it aligns with our authenticity.
Yeah, and I was listening to your episode about comparison before we were chatting, and I just had this moment where I'm like, whew, I have compared myself not only with other people, I've compared myself with previous Lacey, you know, the one before I got sick. And it is so easy to do when you are chronically ill, when you are a mom, because that's one of the things we talk about in No Shame in the Home game, you know. We want to open people's front doors to see into their homes that everyone's struggling with a lot of the same things. We have a lot of the same shame, and we just need to stop that. Well, as much as possible, realistically. It's
It's always going to be
never going to
there.
stop.
Yeah.
It's always going to be there. But I've found just the more that I talk about these things and the more that I say them out loud, the more people are like, yeah, me too. You know,
Yeah.
that's right. Okay. And I guess at the end of the day, if the joyful support movement just helps me and just helps my business partner, Sarah, that's a pretty successful thing.
I think so too. That's kind of what I've gotten to with this, this podcast is this is actually kind of like not my therapy, but like this is what I love to do. And if I'm only helping myself, then okay.
Yeah,
Hopefully,
because
somebody else is out there help listening.
you matter. You're worth
Right.
it. I again, as moms, we often put ourselves at the end of the list, and I still do. Like, don't get me wrong. Being a mom with chronic illness is very challenging, especially when you have small children
Right.
and you just want to go take them to the park and you really can't. Yeah. But, you know, I still have to take a moment and be like, I'm doing this to show my son what a powerful, intelligent woman looks like. I'm showing my daughter that she can do the same thing if that's what she wants. You know, I am doing it for them, even if I'm not in their face doing it for them.
Right, because they can see it. They see you.
They
They
can
see
see
how
it.
happy you are. They see the hard work you're doing. They
They
notice.
do. And my daughter the other day had a Barbie, and I said, oh, is that your friend? She's like, no, mommy, it's your friend Sarah. I've never met Sarah in my life. Sarah and I work remotely together, and we've never met in person. And I just had this moment where I'm like, oh, I talk about how much I love my work so much that my daughter's like, no, this is your friend Sarah.
Oh, that's so. I mean, you should sit Sarah on your desk and be like, Sarah, you're
I told her that and she's like, oh my gosh, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Now she's three. So, you know, 2 minutes later, it was Miss Jen, her preschool teacher. But
Yeah.
I'm gonna hold on to that one moment where
That is really cute. I love it. Kids are so great, aren't they? They
they
say the
are.
funniest things. I really want to focus on another thing too that I think is really important that, and this is a reoccurring theme as I'm talking to more and more guests. Community and support is so important, and you cannot isolate yourself. And really, that's where things you get stuck. You have to have that support.
Well, and I think support is a very challenging thing. I think we think it's really simple, like I need support, but think about all the times you've seen someone go through something and you want to show up for them, but you don't know how,
Right.
or you've needed support, but you don't know how to ask for it. They're just this, and that's why support is part of joyful support, is that I realize I have to ask for help. I cannot not ask for help. I need to go to my mom and say, look, can you help my kids trigger treat so that it's not all my husband? I had to go to my sister when it was Christmas time and be like, do you have some time to come help me decorate my house to make it special for my kids? And that was challenging for me because one, I'm a Miss Midwestern gal. We do everything ourselves. You know, you if you can, you do, you know, all that kind of stuff. But also because I've never wanted to seem weak, right? That's one
Right.
of the ways that we show up in our family's lives as the mom is we are a rock. And that meant I was not that rock. And then I also thought about myself, previous me before I was sick, and thought about all the times where I thought, oh, I should help that person, and never did. And so one of the things that I'm passionate about too, and this is another class that we're going to make down the road, is how to give and receive support. Because it is so much more complicated than you could ever imagine. And if we can remove some of the barriers for people to give and receive support, oh, it'll make a world of a difference. I still, my dear mother-in-law is here today because she wanted to come weed our beds, our flower beds, which is the lovely, like she offered, she's like, I love it. But in I still have that moment in my heart where I'm like, oh, I should be doing that. Even though I know I can't, I know my husband doesn't have time. We don't have the resources to pay for it. And so, yeah, support is so important. Letting yourself have support is important. And support can look so many different ways, whether that's in person, virtually. Sometimes it's just saying, I see you, I hear you. But again, I always thought like I was that person who was like showing up every time somebody needed me. And I'm like, ooh, no, I'm not. I think I'm that person.
Yeah, you like bust in with the mop and the bucket and the lasagna, like, somebody's sick and you're like, okay, I got this. And you're like, no, I really don't. I barely have myself together, let alone like helping somebody else out. But I think you're right. Just seeing somebody, just acknowledging, just hearing, that's support. You don't have to do with the
Absolutely.
superwoman activities and swoop over and weed somebody's garden. You don't have to do
Yeah.
those kinds of things. It can be really simple.
It can. And what support I want and need is different than what you want and need. And I think being able to talk about what you need when it comes to support is another skill that we don't have. And being okay saying like, look, you coming over isn't going to help me unless you're going to fold my laundry, or I know you want to help me, but asking me what you can do for me actually adds more to my plate. Come up with something and then come back to me. I mean, I haven't said those things in that direction.
I know. That's what you're
I
thinking.
don't
No.
want anyone to think that I'm like this mean, demanding person. And again, see, do you see how I, even in that moment, just walked it back?
You're like, oh no, I don't want to come off mean, but like that's what you want, right? So why
Yeah.
not? Why can't we just say that? That reminds me of when there's new moms and they have babies and they're like, can I come over and bring you anything? Yes, you can come over, but don't ask me. Just come over and like grab, do the dishes, like just do something. And
Set a casserole on this porch, doorbell ditch. That's what I
yes.
need.
Yes, like don't ask me any questions. Don't make me use my brain. Just do something. So yeah, I think being able to articulate what we need the support or what we actually need is part of it. And we sometimes don't know exactly what that is.
Yeah, and we also there's a level of trust too when you give and receive support, right? I mean, would I let anybody come in and fold my laundry? No. I have a lot of boundaries. Like my mom, maybe my husband's mom, that's about all I've got. I don't need everybody else touching my underwear.
Good point.
And sometimes there are people who want to show up for you in one way, and you do have to be like, that is going to add more to my plate. So no, thank you. And that takes a level, like to say that to someone who's offering something to you feels bad. But at the end of the day, if their intention is to help you, then they should be able to hear that. Do you see how like it just gets deeper and more complicated? There's so many feelings and
Oh,
yeah, I
feelings.
could,
Feelings makes everything complicated, doesn't
yeah. And I could communication nerd all over like how you have a meaning and they have a meaning. And, when you say this, they think that like it gets really messy fast. And again, that's one of the reasons why when Sarah and I started thinking about the Joyful Support Movement in the Village, we want everyone to take this course coming in so we all have the same base level of knowledge of what we expect from one another. And if an issue does arise, we can say, do you feel like you're operating in this space? Because if because I hate the idea of like putting in rules and all these things. And I find that typically when you challenge people on, like, hey, do you think that was the right thing? A lot of times they'll back down and be like, maybe it wasn't. And it's a learning movement and we moment we can all, move forward. So that was our hope to get everybody on the same page so we can have those conversations, can develop that level of trust and show up how we need, not
Yeah.
how we think we should or
I
all
love
those
that you have
things.
everybody take that course right as they join. So, if any of our listeners are interested in joining, they just go to the Joyful Movement,
JoyfulSupportMovement.com.
joyfulsupportmovement.com. Oh, yeah, it's right here in front of me on my notes. Could have read that. And then to join, so there is a free course. And then also in the show notes of this particular episode, there is a worksheet that Lacey has put together. So you guys can access that. You just go to the show notes, click on the link, and then you'll be able to access that worksheet. And what does it, so to join the village, it's all virtual, right? So there's no like local groups or anything like that right now. It's just all online.
Correct. We're still building. One of the things that we want to do is have a meeting every week where you can come up and we liken it a little bit to AA in that like you can show up and do the steps
Yeah.
and say, this is where I'm at, this is what I need, and I need accountability in this way. So that's something that we're working on building of having those. We also have a free tier. So the village is $10 a month, and then the free tier you join, but you still get access to a lot of resources. So the Joyful Support course. We also have a course that Sarah created about meal planning, and we have all kinds of resources too that we're just putting up there because that's what I'm instructional design's my background. So if there's a worksheet, I'm gonna make it.
I love that. And it's for moms. It's for you don't have to work or stay at home or
It's
do
for
whatever.
anybody who could use it. It's hard because people are always like, "Are you niching down?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't. I think as soon as the person who knows they are this person hears it, they get it."
Yeah.
One of the ways that we've described it is like it's almost like a place between friendship and professional therapy. Both of those things are still very, very important, but a lot of times we find ourselves in this place that is maybe too much for our friends. We can't get in to see somebody when it comes to therapy. And so it's a space where you can come and get a little bit of a peer support type model thing too. So I think anyone could see themselves there if that resonates with them.
That's awesome. And we are almost up on time. This
I
went
know.
by so fast. I
I
feel like
told you I'm a chatter.
we could talk more because I know that you have a human design course, right? Like, can you tell me a little bit about, because this is something that keeps showing up. And like I said before, I don't believe in like coincidences. So there's a lot of synchronicities for me. What is human design?
So human design, I want to preface this by saying I have always been a person of science. So me leaning into this has really just come from a place of me being like, I keep seeing it being true. So I'm going to keep going. And it's essentially at the moment of your birth, you were imprinted with a certain set of skills and abilities. And it's like an operating manual for yourself and how you work energetically, what you're compelled to do, what you're here to do, all of these different things. It can get real deep real fast because you
Okay.
can get into, think of it as like astrology, some like Eastern medicine and like chakras are part of it, all combined into a package that you can get real deep.
Ooh, I might have to have you back on to talk about human design. We
Well,
maybe
okay.
could.
I am not a human design expert. I want to give a shout out to Adrienne Keefe because she's the one who connected Sarah and I, and she is a human design coach and teacher. But one of the things that I learned in human design, there are five like types of people when it comes to energy, and I'm something called a manifester, which is actually kind of rare in that I get energy from like ideas and like these creative urges, and I have to do them right away. I can't not do it, and all this different stuff. but I don't have access to a regular stable base of energy like 75% of the population typically does. And even just realizing that about myself and starting to recognize that and be okay with that's just how I'm made. I am not the manifesting generators, the generators of the world who are kicking butt. And I look at the comparison games real hard with them. And so that is another place where I gave myself permission and all that stuff. Yeah, go. You can do chart. Like I have pulled my family's charts. I've
Oh, how
got real
fun.
deep.
So if anybody wants to do this, they just go to your website, right?
Not
And
my
the list
website.
is there. Oh, okay. I thought I saw something on your website that links to human design.
And you know what? I probably did put something on there because, like I said, Sarah and I attribute Adriana
Okay.
to
Okay, cool. So
our human design love and meeting. Because Sarah is also she's a projector, which is a non-generator type, which means that her energy is different too. And that's one of the ways that we can see each other and accommodate each other.
oh my gosh. Okay, I gotta check this out. I gotta check this out. But I did see it on your website. So
Yeah.
it's there. It's there.
It is. Yeah.
So awesome. Well, Lacey, thank you so much for joining me today on
Yeah.
the Remote Mom Collective podcast. It's been wonderful learning your story, and I hate that we're out of time, but that just means maybe you'll have to come on another time and we can continue the conversation.
I love a good chat. Absolutely.
Awesome. Real quick before we leave, is there anything else that you want to share with listeners?
Just go joyfulsupportmovement.com. Part of my manifestor nature is I'm always like, oh, I came up with this and I made it. So there
Cool.
are
All
things all
right.
the time. I'm Lacey Shares on TikTok and Instagram, and you get a lot of my I did this today stuff. So.
Love it. Well, everybody go and find Lacey on all of the places. We'll link it all in the show notes. Thanks again for joining me today. I really enjoyed your company. And thank you, listeners. We will return in a week or so with another episode. Thank you so much for listening. And as we say here at the Remote Mom Collective, being different makes a difference. So let's support and inspire each other.